Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
Will you please stand as you are able for the reading of God's Word? Now listen to these words from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter, which recounts how God guided the journey of faith for the Magi, first to find and discover the baby Jesus, and then to go home by another way. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born, King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they'd seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for home by another road." This is the word of God for the edification of the people of God. You may be seated.
As you're seated, if you'll take out your sermon notes and your study guide, on the back of the sermon notes is a study guide that goes over all the Christmas stories that we have been talking about over the last 5 weeks. I encourage you to take each one of these readings as a time, just a part of your day throughout this week, and to look at them and see what questions that are asked and that you ask when you're reading these questions, or reading these scriptures and the questions. And also, on the flip side is the sermon notes. And if there's during a time that you feel that God's speaking to you, or something that you just really want to remember, I encourage you to write that down in your notes and to be able to take that with you throughout the week. And also, there's going to be a time in our sermon today where I'm going to ask you to reflect and write down some things in your notes. So also just keep them handy for that time as well. Well, I love to travel. I really love to travel. If you were to say that I had a hobby or something that I enjoy doing, or something when I look back in 2007 and say, what is it that I really enjoy doing? It would be traveling. I love going to new places and to explore and to kind of check things out and say, okay, what is in this city, or what is in this place? Or this could be something that could be just right downtown, like a couple 5 miles away, or this could be something that's, thousands and thousands of miles away. But I love to travel. And oftentimes, Christmas time is a time for travel. traveling for many of us. Some of you might be here because you have traveled here to visit with friends and family. And some of you throughout this past week might have gone and traveled with friends and family and then come back. That's actually what has happened with me this week, is that I went to, for Christmas Day, went to Hutchinson, Kansas, where my husband Andrew's family is, and we celebrated Christmas there. And then the next day we went to Great Bend, Kansas, and then we came back to Kansas City to prepare for this weekend. And kind of looking back over the week, it's like, whoa, what a week, because that was a lot of traveling that happened. But oftentimes that might be similar to some of your stories this past week. When I came back to our house and saw that we still had Christmas decorations up and we had just gotten back from traveling, I said, well, you know, we are done traveling. We went to the Christmas Eve services. We celebrated Christmas. Christmas is over, right? So I thought that, and then I went, wait, the Magi haven't come yet. Now, I know that's a very strange thought to go fleeting across your head, and maybe it only goes through my mind, but to think, okay, the Magi haven't come yet. And if you put away your Christmas decorations already, just want to let you know, somebody from last service told me, like, I've already put away my Christmas decorations. Don't feel guilty. It's okay. And that the visit from the Magi actually happened in January 6th. That's when the church celebrates the Magi coming to visit the Christ child. And so the 12 days of Christmas, that Christmas carol that we often sing about 12 days of Christmas and a partridge in a pear tree, is not actually the 12 days before Christmas, but the 12 days after Christmas. Because from the 25th to the 6th is 12 days. And that's when we anticipate the arrival of these wise men to visit the Christ child. And we also get to celebrate Christ. So we're in the midst of traveling season, and we're in the midst of the Christmas season right now. So today we get to hear this story of the Magi. And I think that there are three intriguing parts that really make a difference for the way that we see who we are and also see the way that we see what journey that we are on. And so when we look at this Magi story, there's three pieces of it. The first one is, let's look at who the Magi are. So who is it that are these wise men that we have studied and have in our nativity sets and hear about and sang about earlier? And then how are they guided? I mean, is it by the star? What else guides them? And what guides us on our journeys? And then what do they do when they reach the Christ child? What do they do when they reach their destination? And what is this all about? And what does it mean for us? And then we're also going to look a little bit at our Methodist tradition. And we're going to see, how does being United Methodist or being a part of a Methodist tradition have anything to do with the journey that we're on, and how do we see this? So the very first thing we're going to look at, who are the Magi? Who are these people? We sang earlier, We Three Kings, and I think it's a great Christmas carol. I really, really enjoy it. And at the same time, the three kings, they weren't kings. The wise men were not kings. And we don't even know if there are three of them, because we just attribute that to the three gifts that were given, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that we saw in the scriptures. So over tradition, we've said, okay, there's three kings that come. It's still a great song, and I still think we should sing it, because they traveled so far, and they were guided by the star, and there's other pieces that are a part of that. But in thinking about who the wise men, let's look at who they really are. The first, they're highly educated. These are highly educated men who are a part of the priestly class of Persian or Babylonian astrologers. So they're upper class, wealthy citizens who are experts in stars and in dreams. And they're highly respected, very highly respected in Gentile culture. So in non-Jewish culture, that they are really just kind of the profession to be. And they come from the East. And in a minute, we're going to see this map up here. And in this east, we're right now in Judea, so in that area, and we're going, you kind of see where the mountains are to the right. That would be east of Judea, where the Tigris and Euphrates, Mesopotamia is. And then there's Babylon, and then that's where the Jews were exiled before. And then these wise men are going to Jerusalem, which is what's circled right there, that really the capital city. They're going, that's their destination. And that's where this story takes place with King Herod. That's where he's in Jerusalem. And Bethlehem doesn't even make the map, because it's a very, very small town and about 9 miles south of Jerusalem. So the wise men are from this area, that's the large circle, Persia and Arabia. And that journey from Persia to Jerusalem probably took up to 2 years a 2-year journey. Now, there are two things that I think that really are neat to come from this pondering. And the first is to think that the wise men are extremely different. They're very different than the Judean culture and the Jewish culture, and they're different from Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, everyone that we've looked at already in the Christmas story, that these are kind of the odd, strange visitors from a foreign land. And then that gives us hope because we know that the strangeness of the Magi show us that anyone can come and worship this Christ child. I mean, this whole spectrum is shown even just at Christ's birth of the people that can come and worship Christ. And then the second thing is a 2-year journey. Can you only imagine? And to think, why did these strangers make such a long and perilous journey? Why did they make this journey? And why was it so important and so powerful to draw them from their homeland for 2 years? Well, I think they wanted to make this journey. They were on a mission. And they wanted to worship this new king. So in one way, we can say that Christ has just made worldwide news. It's no longer just a small town kind of angels coming to the shepherds that were just nearby. But this has now made worldwide news all over this empire, all over that map that we just saw. And they wanted to make this journey. And in thinking about the journeys that the wise men made, we think about the journeys that we make. Why do we travel places? Why do we go places? Is it to visit friends and family? I mean, is it for vacation or for work? It could be for joy-filled reasons, or it could be for sad reasons. It could be to connect with others or to be by ourselves. And it could be to see people that we hardly ever see, or it could be to see people that we see every day. I mean, traveling doesn't have to be millions of miles away. It can just be just the next door neighbor. Each journey, though, has a destination and a reason. Tomorrow, I get to go on a journey, and I am very excited about this journey. It's a journey that I've been looking forward to since Thanksgiving, actually. It is a journey that I get to go to, thanks to modern convenience of the airplane, for 4 hours. That's all. And it's to North Carolina. North Carolina actually is the place where I grew up. And it's where my parents are, and it's a place for me that brings great rest and relaxation. And I am really excited about this journey. And no matter what, and I know there's some things that can come in the way, but really, no matter what, I really want to make this journey. Like, there's this deep desire in my heart that I just want to go there. And to think about some journeys that you might go on that you're like, you know what, no matter what, I am going on this. That gives us just a small glimpse of what these wise men might have thought about. You know, no matter what, they had this bold determination and persistence to say, you know what, we're going on this journey to worship this newborn king. And the wise men set out on this journey because they saw a star in the east. They were guided by this star. And the stars that we think that they studied all their lives, they were guided by this huge star, but they went on this journey not knowing what they would find. Not knowing what was on the other end, but they just followed the star. And they followed the star to the western sky to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was the capital city of the area that we saw earlier. And this is kind of like Washington, D.C. and New York City combined. It was the cultural, political center. It was the place that you would find a king. And when you go and find a king there, it wasn't Christ that was there. It was King Herod. And in our story, we see that King Herod was there. And the wise men come and ask him, where is the king of the Jews? We have come to worship him. Now, if we think about this for just a minute, there's a king that's ruling all this land, and these wise foreigners from another area come and say, where is the king of the Jews? We want to worship him. That would be a little distressful to Herod, I believe. Herod, it says, was disturbed or terrified, is troubled. Because he was the king. He was the mighty conqueror. He was the great military leader. He was the builder for this whole area. And Herod used these wise men, though, for his advantage. He called together the chief priests and the scribes, and asked where it is in Scripture that the king of the Jews would be. And they quoted Micah 5 in Bethlehem, a small town 9 miles south of Jerusalem. Now, after all this hubbub that's going on here in Jerusalem, let's look at how the wise men were guided. How were they guided? The wise men were not just guided by a star, but they were also guided by Herod, and then the chief priests, and then the scribes and Scripture. All of these elements came together to form this journey that the wise men were on, that they didn't know where they were going. And we see God's guidance in all of this. And we see that these wise men were actually taking a journey of faith. They were taking a journey. They didn't know where they were going, but they went anyway. That's faith. And so as they're going on this journey of faith, they are guided by all these elements. Even Herod, even in the midst of Herod's ill intentions, Herod still helps guide them to where they need to go. Now, this is a neat point because as United Methodists, we believe that God's love guides us even before we acknowledge it, even before we even know it or can sense it, that God's love guides us. John Wesley calls this prevenient grace, which is grace or God's undeserving love going before us. And in our own life and in my life, I can look back and I can think, okay, here are some places where God has really guided me. I remember when I was a teenager, there was one particular Christmas dinner. And in this Christmas dinner, all of a sudden, all these questions started to come with me. It's kind of the strangest time for all these questions to come, but they did. And these questions that were of who is God and why should Jesus matter and why does faith matter and what does my life have meaning for and why should I go to church? And all these deep questions just started coming to me during this Christmas dinner. And I remember going home and saying, okay, I got to find some answers. Like I really want to know more about about all these questions that are coming to mind. And in fact, I had people in my life, such as my parents and family and pastors and teachers and later on professors that were like, you know, here are some answers to that. Look at the Scriptures. Look at the Gospels to figure out who God is. And look at, you know, the way you see Jesus is the way God is. And they ask questions of, they ask questions of me and encourage me to keep asking questions. And they guided me. Like there's a huge guiding part that came into this. In a little while, we're going to hear this song of you lift me up. And we think about all the people that have guided us in our journeys. So I want you to take a moment right now and to think about, and it can be this throughout this past year or it can be throughout your lifetime, whichever kind of scope that you need to think about, but to think about the people that have guided you. What has guided you in your journey? Can you name some people or places or experiences that have guided you in life and could have pointed you to God or just pointed you in a direction that you felt you really needed to go? I'm going to give you just a few minutes to write down those names and places and experiences on your study guide and say who has guided you at this time. These people and places and experiences are like stars or signs that God uses to guide us or to point us to God. And they shape us on who we are and how we go on our journey. And we are thankful for them. We are thankful for these guiding lights, these guiding stars in our life. So now let's look at what happens when the wise men arrive. What happens in this story when they finally get to their destination? So they continue, the wise men continue from Jerusalem, 9 miles south, to the exact house in Bethlehem. And when they arrived, they were overwhelmed with joy. Overwhelmed with joy. And part of me thinks, yeah, I would be too after traveling for 2 years. But also thinking about what is it that they had in this destination, in this time of worshiping the Christ child. Because their mission and their purpose and their destination was accomplished. They arrived to worship. They arrived to pay homage or worship the Christ, the King. And to worship or worth-ship is they give their worth to God. They give their worth of who they think God is, and they lay themselves down. They give their allegiance or their loyalty. They pay respect. They give just great reverence to the Christ child. And then they present gifts. They brought gold used for kings, frankincense, an essential oil that's used for the divinity of kings. And then they use myrrh, which is kind of this aromatic resin that is used for religious and medical purposes. And they brought these gifts out of generosity and faithfulness and a desire to worship Christ the King. But let's stop there. Let's think. Isn't this a bit strange, though? We have this picture in our minds of these three wise men, these people who could afford to bring gold and frankincense and myrrh, and I bet they're not in the habit of bowing down to little kids in modest homes in Bethlehem in a foreign land. I mean, it's just a bit strange. But this is the picture that we have. And we know through later on in the chapters that this child isn't just any child, that this is the Christ child, that this is God in the flesh here to dwell among us. And the wise men knew this. That's what was so passionate, so determined. That's why they made this journey. Because they knew this and they wanted to worship the King. So they reached their destination. They navigated their way to the Christ child. And then they were warned in a dream to go back a different way. So like the wise men, we navigate to the Christ child. Every Sunday, we come here giving our worth to God, worshiping God, and saying, God, you are our King. And saying, you are the one that I want to be more like. You're the one that I want to know more about. You're the one that I want to love more. And you're the one that I want to serve. And like the wise men on a journey, we go on a journey. It's a journey of our life. Whether you call it a faith journey or a life journey, it's a place where we don't know what's around the bend. We don't know what's next. But still we go. And we go with faith. And we go on this adventure with a desire to use our hands and a desire to use our lives in a way that's meaningful. And just as God guided the wise men with a star, God guides us all along. I mean, God has guided us throughout our lives, and God points us and directs us to God, and whether we know it or not. But there's a time when we do know it, then that's when we come and we bow down and we pay homage to Christ the King. But the journey doesn't end there. The journey doesn't end there. Because day after day, and week after week, and year after year, we get to continue walking closer and closer and closer with God. That every single day we get to worship and bow down. And we want to live knowing God and loving God and serving God with our whole being. See, each destination, each journey has a destination. Each journey has a destination. And at this church, our destination is to become a deeply committed Christian. And we're all on this journey of becoming deeply committed Christians. And the Methodist tradition helps us to become deeply committed Christians as we take each day of our lives and we present them as a gift to the Christ child. So we're on the brink of a new year. I mean, in just a couple of days, it's going to be New Year's Eve, and it's going to be 2008 and a whole new year. And in the Methodist tradition, this is usually a day, the last Sunday of the year, to recommit ourselves to this journey of faith. John Wesley, who's actually the founder of Methodism, but he didn't really think he was going to be the founder of Methodism, but he began a people called Methodists. And he formed small groups of people who wanted to grow in their faith. And these people received communion and worshiped at the Church of England. And then throughout the week, though, they gathered together in small groups. And it was just he and his brother Charles. And Charles wrote the hymn, actually, that we sang at the very beginning, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. So it was John Wesley and Charles Wesley and a few other people that gathered together in small groups. And they asked each other, how is it with your soul? Where are you on this journey? How are you becoming a more deeply committed Christian? John Wesley wrote the prayer called Wesley Covenant Prayer. And Adam talks about this a lot when he talks about, I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thy will. Rank me with whom thy will. And it's in this prayer that's just the beginning parts of the prayer. It says, I am no longer thine, but yours. This is like bowing before the Christ child. This is giving worship each day. And I know many of you that have prayed this prayer every single day, and it has changed you. Like, it's just a whole new way of looking at the world, saying, you know what? I am here to do whatever is needed. God, use me this day for your great purposes. I too have prayed that prayer. That was my commitment at the end of 2006 for 2007, was to pray this prayer every single day. And I can tell you, it changes. It changes me. And it just does such a profound way of bowing before the Christ child. Now, another tool that John Wesley provided was a list of questions for small groups. And these are questions that kind of help us see, where are we in this journey? How are we becoming more deeply committed Christian? And in the next few minutes, while there's music being played underneath, we're going to look at these questions. And it's going to be a time of reflection, just for you and for God to talk and to think and reflect on these questions, to say, where are we in this journey? Where are you in this journey? And what might be a next step for you in the new year? So as we listen and reflect and watch the questions, I encourage you in this time just to take a moment and to hear God, what God might be saying to you through these questions. I'll give you just a few seconds to write down any reflections that you want to remember from that time. This church is a place where people navigate on their journey to becoming a deeply committed Christian, no matter where you are on your faith journey or life journey. The next year, I want to encourage you to take the next step in your journey. What is it that you need to help you become a deeply committed Christian? What is an area of focus that you want to focus on? And thinking about how can we bow before the Christ child. Here's the good news. And I want you to hear this good news. The good news is that as we're on our journey, that God is guiding us every step of the way. And God's love and grace is present with you no matter what. That God is guiding us. And God's love and grace is present with us. No matter what. And that we have a whole new year on this journey of faith, a whole new year to take another step, a whole new year to engage and see how faith informs us and forms our every decision. And who knows what this new year will hold? Who knows? But we do know that's a whole new year on this journey called life. Let us pray. O gracious God, who guides us and gives us this great story of wise men who come from afar on this journey to see you in the flesh, guide us this day. God, we are on different places in our journeys, and we want to become a deeply committed follower of you. We recommit to being on this journey with you and seek you in all that we do. Guide us as you have talked with us about this day, and strengthen us for this journey today and in the year to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.